Good morning. I'm Janice Bowie, as Dr. Smith mentioned, and I, along with my colleague, Dr. Amber Summers, are the evaluators for the Baltimore Be More Fit project. And so we are going to share our presentation this morning. We'll probably move quickly so that we have enough time to entertain your questions and hopefully have a rich discussion at the end. So the basis or the background for the Be More Fit project in Baltimore City was really to try and reduce complications that are associated with subsequent pregnancies. So we know that obese women of reproductive age have a greater likelihood of experiencing preeclampsia, having C-sections, and also perhaps having problems with postoperative complications. We also know from the literature that these women are nearly three times more likely to also experience problems with neonatal death as well as stillbirth compared to those women who have a healthier weight. So the Be More Fit for Healthy Babies actually operates under a larger rubric of an initiative called Be More for Healthy Babies. So Be More for Healthy Babies is focusing on a variety of other factors that may impact infant mortality, that may impact women and their children. Our particular initiative is focusing on weight reduction, and it's an intervention to, as I said before, to help women reduce the likelihood of complications associated with future pregnancies. The coalition that surrounds the Be More Fit initiative encompasses 17 organizations. Some of those organizations include the American Heart Association, the YMCA, there's some faith-based organizations, there's the Health Enterprise Zone, a number of local entities that are supporting and also providing sort of direction for how Be More Fit can be productive and engaging and do what it sets out to do. So the weight reduction intervention is sponsored by Weight Watchers, and this is the first time that Weight Watchers has actually partnered to provide services to women who are both minority as well as those who are come from low-resourced backgrounds and communities. And it also incorporates a trauma-informed care component to try to look at those issues that may impact the ability for women to participate in weight reduction initiatives, and also to make sure that they have safe and secure families to be able to live their best lives. So I won't describe the gender-based elements other than to say, because I think that the slide that Dr. Smith showed sort of sets the stage for how the Office of Women's Health defines the gender-based activities. But we are also looking at it in the context of weight loss, because there are societal influences as well as environmental influences that we know, if you've ever tried to lose weight, that kind of can either help promote or inhibit your weight loss. And sometimes they just come from, you know, trying to raise children, trying to manage life, to go to work and to do all those things that sometimes get in the way of you being able to have your 10,000 steps and 30 active minutes that I strive for every day with my Fitbit. And so when you have fewer resources, it's even more challenging to try to do some of these things. And then in addition to that, those environmental factors such as having access to healthy food and to have access to affordable food is also challenging. And then, you know, to be in a situation where you are talking with your medical provider or your medical provider is failing to talk to you in a culturally sensitive way about how to, you know, how to lose weight or how to engage in physical activity within the context of who you are, and also in the context of your cultural background. So these are sort of the gender-based activities that we try to think about and also promote and integrate within our program. So I want to tell you a little bit about our program strategy. There are four goals, and these goals, many of them we try to also map onto the Healthy People 2020. So the first goal is really to increase the number of women who enter pregnancy at a healthy weight. And secondly, to make sure that whatever interventions we have, that it's also creating a family and community supportive environment to keep and promote a healthy diet and fitness. Because you generally, unless you live alone and there's no other people in your life, there may be challenges around how to make sure that a healthy diet and healthy weight and physical activity are maintained and supported within the home, as well as in the workplace and other places where we work, eat, live, and play. And then, in addition to being able to do this, it's important for us to think about how to improve access to healthy food and have fitness opportunities and weight loss programs that these women can attend and participate in without too much difficulty. And then finally, to try to advocate for all those other sorts of services and programs that can enable and promote and sustain weight loss and physical activity. So as I mentioned, our goals map on to the Healthy People 2020 objectives. So we are aiming to have 20% of our participants attend two or more 12-week sessions. So Weight Watcher sessions run 12 weeks. And so what we try to do is to get women to stay in that cycle of 12 weeks for two times, and hopefully to achieve a weight loss of 10% of their body weight. And then another objective that we were focusing on is to also try to increase the intake of fruits and vegetables, and to improve those eating habits as well as exercise habits among 80% of our participants. And then to aim to try to keep this initiative sustainable. So as I mentioned, our intervention focuses on a modified yet comprehensive weight loss program with the Weight Watchers, which, if you've ever been to a Weight Watchers program, it encompasses first a weigh-in, and then there's some counseling and some activities about how to, you know, choose the right foods or to track your eating. And then this program also includes group exercises. And women participate once a week over these 12-week intervals, which run continuously. So, as I said, there's the weigh-in, and then there's this 30-minute facilitated discussion where women talk about their challenges with eating, as well as trying to track their weight loss and to celebrate their successes, and then to also provide some support for one another. And then there's also some additional activities around how to shop and be a wise consumer in your shopping and managing the budget, as well as menu planning and healthy eating preparation. So this is just one photograph of women, you know, celebrating. I guess this participant has achieved one of her, you know, her desired goals. And then there's also a fitness activity that, and the women really, really enjoy this component even more so than weighing in, particularly if it's not a weight loss day. And then in addition to just those two components of the Weight Watchers program and the fitness activity, there are these other sort of wraparound supportive components, which we provide the child care and transportation to be able to get to the sessions, as well as there's a trauma-informed care, again, to sort of zero in on those areas in women's lives that may present problems for them and their families. And then we have two sites for our activities. One is focusing on the western part of Baltimore City, which is the African American population, and then East Baltimore with the Latino population. So to date, more than 500 women have participated in the original two sites. 14% of them have attended at least 12-week sessions and have lost 10% of their body weight. Another 42% have attended the same number of sessions and have achieved a 5% loss of their body weight. So to date, the overall accomplishments is really looking at, so our accomplishments have included sort of launching a toolkit, provider toolkit to support weight loss and to be able to provide that counseling to women. We're also been providing job opportunities. So some of the participants themselves are now acting in the role of facilitating and then facilitating some of the programs and doing parts of the fitness program and also working in our program to help with data collection and some other activities, as well as we've been really looking at how to improve program delivery through our ongoing process evaluation. And so I'm going to switch this over now to talk a little bit more about sort of how we've been doing the process evaluation to improve program delivery. So I'm going to turn this over to my colleague, Dr. Amber Summers.
All right, thank you, Dr. Bowie. So yes, I'm going to go through just some of the results that we got from the focus groups. So we did focus groups in May 2013 with the participants, and the purpose of those was to assess the gender-related issues that are associated with diet and exercise, and also look at some of the participation barriers, family support, and what the women recommended as program improvements, because at that time, even though we wanted, our goal was for women to reach that 12-week mark, less than half of the women were reaching that point, so we wanted to understand what some of the issues were there. So we completed six focus groups. There were four with women, so two at the Spanish-speaking site and two at the African-American site, and we also did two with their partners. And we also split those groups up by attendance. So we had what we considered non-attenders, those who had stopped coming to the program, and those who were continuing on with the program. But prior to the focus group discussions, and where we'll focus today, is we did a quantitative survey with the women, a 67-question survey with the women, and then a shorter survey with the partners. And I'm going to come back to that. So for the focus group participants, we had 51 women who participated, and the average age at about 30. The majority of them were actually married or living with a partner, about 30%, less than high school education, 26% high school or GED, and close to half had some college. Now, we got a lot of rich data from the focus group discussions and also from the survey, but what we wanted to do was focus in on body image because we consider this a salient theme. And body image, as defined here, the picture we have in our minds of the size, shape, and form of our bodies, and to our feelings concerning these characteristics and constituent body parts. And the reason this is important because research does show that the way that we perceive our bodies does affect our weight loss behaviors related to diet and exercise, and also our participation levels in programs. So the way that we measured body image quantitatively was through using a validated scale by Pulvers. It's a 9-point figure rating scale that we also adapted, and the scale ranges from 1 to 9. And just to show you a picture here, this is what the scale looks like, and this is actually our adapted version that we adapted for the African American women. And the three questions that we asked was, you know, which image is most similar to you, so what they feel that they perceive their current body image was. And then also what they preferred to be, which we call the ideal or preferred image, and what they considered the healthiest. And so keep in mind that body image is a subjective measure, whereas body mass index or BMI is more of an objective measure by weight and height. And this is the Spanish version. So this is actually the original scale. The pictures here are the original scale. In addition to this body image, we also measured body dissatisfaction, and we based this on previous research that used a calculation called the body discrepancy calculation, where we take what the woman considers her current perceived body image minus what she considers her ideal image. So the possible score can range from -8 to +8, and a negative number would indicate a desire to be larger, but what would be most typical would be a positive number, which would consider a desire to be smaller. So what we did was we compared the mean body image by both sight, so that would be ethnicity, and then also by attendance status. So for the specifically for the body image questions, we had 38 women who completed the scale. So 30 African-American women and 8 Latina, and then 20 attenders, and then 18 non-attenders. So I just want to point out a few of the key results here. So as we expected, most of the women considered their current body image to be larger than what they wanted to be ideal. But what we also want to point out is that there were some differences by ethnicity. So for example, the current body image was larger than the ideal among African American, but the gap was larger among African American versus Latina women. So the current body image is larger than Latina women, but also the healthiest image, there was also a difference in the gap, whereas you can see here 4.5 versus 3.9 among the African American women, and then 4.4 versus 4.1 among Latina. So we found that interesting. And we also did a comparison by attendance. And again, the current body image was rated higher than ideal. But what's important here is that when we looked at what was considered the healthiest image, the women who had stopped attending considered the healthier image to be slightly larger than those who were still coming. And then when we look at body dissatisfaction, there weren't any major differences here. So, but the African American women, they did have a slightly greater body dissatisfaction than Latina women. And actually that p-value was wrong, so it should be p is 0.07 for the African American women compared to the Latina women. But then attenders versus non-attenders, body dissatisfaction was quite similar in those groups. So I just want to show in a picture here what this body dissatisfaction looks like on the scale. So this is just with African-American women. And at the top, you can see where the attenders are. And so again, what they consider their current image to be is 6.2, whereas the preferred image was 4.4. And what's not on this picture is what is considered the healthiest image. And so among all women, whether it's non-attenders or by ethnicity, the preferred image was always higher than what people considered the healthiest image. So there was always a gap between what they wanted to be and what they considered the healthiest. And then at the bottom here, you see the non-attenders. Well, there wasn't a major difference between non-attenders and attenders with the body discrepancy. And so I do want to point out that there were some similarities between what we measure, so their actual weight when they come in every week and weigh in. African-American participants, on average, their current weight is at 226 pounds, and the body image is at 6.4, whereas the Latina participants, they come in at a lower weight, and they also are currently at a lower weight at 164 pounds on average, and their current body image is smaller. So there's some correlation, so trend there. So our conclusions is that we want to think about how do people see themselves, and weight itself is not really the only measure that we have to consider. There's additional factors. And most women did express body dissatisfaction, but there was a greater discrepancy among African American women, and this might suggest that there's a difference in health standards between those cultural standards between the groups. And Latino, they also perceive a smaller body size than African American women, and then a smaller gap exists between what was perceived and what was considered healthiest. And then attenders versus non-attenders having a similar current body image, but then perceiving that there's a difference in what's healthiest, there may be some implications there as far as why people are dropping out of the program if they consider the healthier body image to be larger. And then one thing we do want to point out is that stress emerged as a very important factor in the focus groups. and something we consider that should be incorporated more so into our intervention components because it came up so much. So what our next steps are is understanding that we'll have to incorporate more of a discussion about body image into the intervention components. And we do want to get a larger sample size with this measure, and so we've added a question to our post-intervention survey. And we will add more components into the program related to stress. And so finally, we just want to acknowledge our participants and Be More Fit, and then also the coalition, the Be More Fit Coalition and the Baltimore Healthy, Be More for Healthy Babies Coalition, the Baltimore City Health Department, Family League of Baltimore, Weight Watchers, and Office on Women's Health. All right, thank you.